Well, good morning and welcome to Victory Baptist Church. It's good to see each of you in the house of the Lord this morning. And of course, this is Memorial Day weekend. And so we are remembering those who gave their lives, those who sacrificed for the freedoms we enjoy today. I know with this pandemic, we've been not meeting as much in person. And we are reminded of some of the persecuted church that doesn't get to meet in public very often anyway, as they have to go in small groups, in homes, and often challenging. So it's good to be able to meet together, and we trust that God will strengthen His church. And for the freedoms we enjoy, let us make use of them for God's glory. And so a happy Memorial Day weekend to you this morning. And I'd like to take our Bibles for a scripture reading this morning to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 22. If you find your place there, we'll begin with verse number 6, Revelation 22 and verse number 6. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word as we continue in this fourth part of our series in Revelation. Today, we'll be talking about preparing for Jesus' soon return. Preparing for Jesus' soon return. And we'll begin reading here in verse 6. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things, and heard them. And when I heard them, and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." And would you join me now as we read, beginning with verse 12? "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Behold, I come quickly. May God help us this morning as we continue to think about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your blessings this day. Thank you for being able to meet together here in your house, and I pray that you would bless this gathering, Lord, that you would encourage our hearts, that you would help us to soberly think about eternity and about the purpose and plan you have for our lives. Lord, I pray that you would be exalted and glorified, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated as we continue in our series here in the book of Revelation. Today we're working with some of the truths from the book of Revelation, but applying it to how should we prepare in light of the Lord Jesus' soon return. How should we prepare? So you can take your Bible this morning and we'll go back over there to Revelation. You could turn to chapter 1 this time, Revelation chapter number 1. Approximately 1900 years ago, God gave these words to the Apostle John. And John wrote down what God gave him. John was faithful. As an old man, as a servant of the Lord, he was faithful. And consider the words that God began to give to John here as he was banished on that island of Patmos.
Notice verse 1, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." Notice in the middle of that verse, "to show unto his servants things," would you help me now, "which must shortly come to pass." Shortly come to pass. And then God reveals all of these awesome things here that are contained in the book of Revelation. I remind you, verse 19 of chapter 1 is really the broad outline of the book of Revelation. Chapter 1 and verse number 19. Notice what the scripture says here. It says, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." And so as we remember that chapter 1, John saw a wonderful, awesome view of the Lord Jesus. And those are the things that he has seen, thou hast seen. And then in the middle of the verse 19, "the things which are," that's present tense. And that refers to chapter 2 and chapter 3, which are the letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor. And so as those letters were written, those are the present things, the present tense things. And I believe that pictures the church age. We'll go back to our slide here and see the timeline that we've given you. And of course, the church things come along right in here in this time, from the beginning of the world to Christ's coming. During the church age, which is pictured in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, there as John receives those letters from the Lord and delivers them to those churches. After the church things, John is caught up through an open door into heaven. And I believe, as we talked last week, picturing the rapture of the church. The church is not mentioned any longer in these verses here, in these chapters here in Revelation. And so we can see the rapture, I believe, taking place, and the believers, us, gathered there around the throne of God. This morning, though, I would like to talk about preparing for Jesus' soon return. Preparing for Jesus' soon return. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we sure need your help. We know that in this message right now, for us to listen, for us to receive, for us to think seriously about where we are and how we are living. Lord, in light of the truths of your soon return and our being caught up with you, how should we then live? Lord, teach us now, I ask. Open your word, guide by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Go back to Revelation 21, if you would. Revelation 21, we read some verses here already. And I would like to jump in here with verse 12. The last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, and verse number 12. The scripture says, "And behold, I come quickly." I first of all want you to notice, it's not John talking anymore. It's not John relaying what the angel said to him. It's not John saying, "This is what I saw, this is what it's like." No, the person changes. The one speaking is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one coming back. Remember what Jesus said before he left, or what the angel said after he left in Acts chapter 1? The angel said to the disciples that were gazing into heaven when Jesus had ascended, and the disciples were there, and the angel said, "This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." The person changes here in verse 12, and are actually backing up, I think, in verse 11, the person has already changed, where Jesus is speaking directly to us. And he says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take, would you read with me? Let him take of the water of life freely. Oh, praise God. Salvation is a free gift. You know, in thinking about preparing for Jesus' soon return, first and foremost, I believe it is critical that we know we're saved. And so we see, are we believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? God calls us to Himself. Jesus came that we might be saved, that we might be washed from our sin because He paid the price for our sin debt. What an awesome exchange it is that Jesus offers. Me, a sinner, me who am bound for damnation, I am condemned in myself, and Jesus Christ paid my debt. What an exchange. He gives me, offers me His righteousness while He takes my sin away. You know, you'll never be prepared for eternity. We'll never be prepared for what's next on God's schedule without knowing Jesus. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'd like to share just the words of this song that we find in the songbook, and I'll read it to you. I know it's small there, but I'll share that here from our hymn book. You can look if you want. 381. The hymn title is My Name Written There. Lord, I care not for riches, neither silver nor gold. I would make sure of heaven, I would enter the fold. In the book of thy kingdom with its pages so fair, tell me, Jesus, my Savior, is my name written there? Is my name written there on the page white and fair? In the book of thy kingdom, is my name written there? And then on verse 2, Lord, my sins, they are many, like the sands of the sea. But thy blood, O my Savior, is sufficient for me. For thy promise is written in bright letters that glow. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them like snow. Is my name written there on the page white and fair? In the book of thy kingdom, is my name written there? Oh, that beautiful city, with its mansions of light, with its glorified beings in pure garments of white, where no evil thing cometh to despoil what is fair, where the angels are watching. Yes, my name's written there. Yes, my name's written there on the page white and fair in the book of thy kingdom. Yes, my name's written there. Can you say that? Can you say, yes, my name is written there. I have trusted Jesus. Oh, you'll never be ready for eternity unless you know Jesus. It's not enough to just know about Jesus. It's not enough to say, oh, yeah, you know, I accept that He came into this world, that He died and all. But have you personally depended on Him for your salvation? The Bible tells us to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And so believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is critical for our salvation. Have you believed on Jesus? We can go over to the book of Romans. I'd just like you to see a couple of verses there in Romans. And we'll begin with verse 9, Romans chapter 9, I should say, chapter 9. And we'll begin with verse 30, Romans chapter 9 and verse number 30. In this passage, there's a contrast between Israel and the Gentiles. In other words, how the Jewish people were faring and how the Gentiles were faring with regards to salvation, with regards to their sin problem. And overall, of course, it's a broad brush being painted here as the Holy Spirit reveals these truths to the Apostle Paul. But notice what it says here in verse 30, Romans 9 and verse number 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of, help me now, faith. So the Gentiles, they weren't following after righteousness. They were just living as in sin, as heathens, okay? They weren't particularly seeking the Lord. But you know what? They found righteousness by faith. Many Gentiles came to trust Jesus. In fact, I'm one of them. Came to trust Jesus as my Savior. But even in Jesus' day there, even at the beginning of the early church, many, many Gentiles made up the believers of that day. But now verse 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Why? Why is this? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Israel knew the law. Israel had, you know, they knew the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament, which is what they had. And they knew that. They went to school and learned that in their growing up years. I mean, it was part of their culture, the Jewish people. They looked for the Messiah to come and all that. But when he came, They were still stuck. They were stuck on their works. They were not living according to faith. And so they stumbled, by and large, as a nation. They stumbled at salvation because they were so good, they thought, right? They depended on their own works, their own righteousness. And even though they were so close, they missed salvation. You know, I think about religious people today who can go to church faithfully, although missing here during the pandemic. But, you know, people who regularly, I mean, are in their churches and maybe very sincere in their faith, but many times there's a dependence on their works, on their performance. How are they doing? You got to do this to be a good Christian, right? To hopefully make it to heaven, you know. Cross your fingers and just hope for the best, right? Well, that's not God's plan of salvation. God's plan is that we recognize we cannot save ourselves, that we deserve hell, but that Jesus came that we might be saved from our sin. Trusting Jesus alone saves alone. Notice chapter 10 here, and just a few more verses. Chapter 10 and verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, Paul says, that they have a zeal, a passion of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is the end of the law. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled it all for us. And so praise God for that. And then it goes on, such as verse 13, to say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, number one this morning, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. How are we going to be ready for his return? We need to be saved. We need to know that we're saved. And you can know that. Secondly, I want you to notice that we need to be serious with God. Be serious with God. My friend, this thing of life is not a joke. This thing of church or the Bible, or it's not a joke. We need to get serious with God. Are you taking his word serious like the holy, inspired word of God that it is, right? Is it part of our daily life? You know, We all need encouragement to value the right things. God wants us to cherish His precious word. He wants us to love it, to listen to it, and to do it. That is critical. That's the blessing God has for us. Are you taking seriously His word? Consider the words in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. We talked a little earlier about cultivating a heart of love for God. Are you doing that? Are you loving God and growing in that love? Do you take His word seriously? You know, something that if we're going to take God's word seriously, if we're going to take our walk with God seriously, we're going to have to make it a priority in daily life. Getting up, praying. Getting up, reading His word. You know, even a few minutes is far better than no minutes. Taking that time to say, God, I need you today. Lord, without you, I will fail. I need your help to resist temptation. I need your wisdom to lead my family. I need your strength to continue doing what's right. Whatever the specifics are, we must pray. We must cry out to God. We need to depend on Him. And so, are you getting serious with God? Life is not a joke. And so, we need to take it seriously. And that's why, you know, it's good for us to weave into our daily routines purposeful times to spend with God. Like I mentioned already, right away in the morning, starting our day with praying, starting our day reading some scripture. That is important. That's the beginning and a very important part. But taking time even throughout the day, praying, thanking God throughout the day, praying for your meals, thanking the Lord for His provisions. When things arise, talking to God about it, asking Him for His help and His direction. Having purposeful times of reading the Bible as a family. We often take time at supper time, after supper, right around the table there, just opening God's Word. Sometimes we often do use a devotion book or the kids' Sunday school papers or something like that where we read maybe a story, but we always read the Word of God. We don't just read a story or something like that, although that's profitable, but we always open the Scriptures and read God's Holy Word. And so making a habit of that is important, to spend time in God's Word as a family. Get serious with God. Serious with God. Thirdly, I'd like you to notice that we need to obey God's Word. Let's go to Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Obey God's Word. The Lord Jesus asked a striking question here. Luke chapter 6. Please notice verse 46. Jesus said, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Are we obeying God's word? You know, it's wonderful to read God's word. It's wonderful to pray and to have that. It's wonderful to attend church and those kind of things. Those are important. Those are right. Those are good. Are we obeying God's word? That's a question we all need to ask ourselves. Am I really following God's instructions? Psalm 119 verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments." Is that your desire? With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Psalm 119, 9 and 10. Those are some great verses to memorize if you haven't as well, to keep those handy in your mind or on a card, on your mirror, or something like that, to keep God's word there before you. Are you seeking Him? Are you walking in obedience to His word? That brings us to another point here, and let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, as we think about preparing for the soon return of Jesus. In 1 John chapter 3, please notice verse 1. The Bible says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." So consider this. Consider the love that God has toward us. Consider also His soon return. It says here in verse 2, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Notice the next verse. "And every man," in fact, would you read it? It's a short verse. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Every man purifieth himself. Are you cultivating that purity? Cultivate holiness. Holiness. You know what? God does call us to obedience. You know, the good works in the Christian life is important. Now, it's not our salvation. Good works is not for salvation, but it is for honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you honoring Him? You know, when Jesus returns, I wouldn't want to be living in sin. I wouldn't want to be watching some dirty thing on my phone or something. Or, you know, that would be terrible. And you know what? God sees it all, not just when He returns. Are we? What about the thoughts? Thoughts of anger or lust? How are our thoughts? Are we cultivating holiness? I want to be holy, separated unto God. The word holy means set apart for sacred use. Our body, our soul needs to be holy to the Lord. So notice verse 3. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." You know, the farmers this spring have been out working hard in the fields, trying to get their crop in the ground, and they're doing different levels of cultivation. Sometimes it's, you know, almost none these days, but you know, they're still doing some cultivation, stirring up that soil and knocking down those early weeds and things like that. Well, what about our heart? Do you ever knock down weeds? Do you ever pull those things up and get them out of your life? You know how easy it is to grow weeds. I mean, you know, as you get started in the spring planting your garden and that kind of thing, and you know, you're all energized to get the seeds in the ground and looking forward to that, you know, but about middle of June and everything, you know, the weeds just start, you know, just coming like crazy. And it takes some extra dedication to keep that garden clean. How about your life? Are you cultivating a holy walk with God? You know, if we're living in sin, if we're not doing right, we're not ready, quite frankly. We're not ready for His return. And our life is being wasted. Psalm 24, verse 3. "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." And so, cultivating holiness with the Lord. These are important things in our life if we're going to be prepared for Jesus' return. So, first of all, are you saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, are you serious about your walk with God? Thirdly, are you walking in obedience to his word? And number four, are you cultivating holiness with God? Are you cultivating holiness? Number five, I want to present to you that we need to learn to depend on the Lord. Learn to depend on the Lord. Are you trusting him? You know, we as Americans are so accustomed in our culture to be very independent, self-sufficient. But God never designed us to be that way. He designed us to need one another. He designed us, most importantly, to need him. Life does not work without God at the center. You need his grace. I sure do. We need that grace of God in our life. And so, are you depending on the Lord? Learn to depend. Consider this verse in Romans. Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. There is joy and peace in trusting God. Are you depending on him? The walk of a Christian is a walk of faith. God says in his word, John 15, without me, ye can do nothing. We're like a branch that will wither and die without the nourishment of the vine. We need God. Number six, as we consider how to be prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus, God wants us to be an encourager. Consider these words from Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. Let us consider one another, God says, to provoke unto love and to good works. Consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And so we need to consider one another. Are we an encourager? Are we seeking ways we can be a blessing to the body of Christ, to others in need? It is important for us to think of others and not just ourselves, and to see how we can do the work of God and be a blessing to those God has brought into our life, into our circle. And so be an encourager. I know that I need encouragement. I know that you probably need encouragement. And so let's consider one another. And I believe that as we come to these last days and the return of Christ, the scripture is clear that we need to encourage one another in our walk with the Lord, that we're not weary in well-doing, but encouraging one another. Number seven, and lastly this morning, being prepared for his coming. We need to be bringing others to Jesus. Bringing others to Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is patient, waiting for more souls to come to the Savior. Are you going to be a messenger that carries the light of the gospel? Are we a light in this dark world? May God help us to shine. May God help us to think more of others and their need than just our own. How is it for you? These are just a few thoughts of being prepared for the coming of Christ. Are you prepared? Time is moving quickly. His return is ever nearer. The signs of the times point certainly to his soon return. Will you be ready when he comes? He could indeed come soon, in our lifetime, that is, even in these days. He could come. He will come. Are you ready? With heads bowed, with eyes closed, what is it that you need to change in your life? Are there areas that you need to give more attention to? Perhaps in obedience to God's word, perhaps in something else that the Lord revealed to you. Maybe your need is salvation. Maybe you haven't taken that first step of obedience to trust the Lord Jesus, to depend on him, not your own works. Today can be that glad day of salvation. Don't put off what God is calling you to do. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your holy word this morning. Thank you for the challenge to our hearts and lives. Father, I pray that you would help us to be a prepared people. You say that you've gone to prepare a place for us. Help us to be prepared for that return. We praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.